Little League and things of that nature. But we always told this coach up front, if you have a service, if you have a game on Wednesday night, our boys are not going to be here. If you have a game on Sunday, our boys are not going to be here. If you want them on your team, that's good, but we need to understand it that way. And we never had a problem. And we went by those rules, and so did those that we played with. I mentioned yesterday that we had families that would get up in the middle of the sermon in order to get to a Little League game on time. And that sends a very bad message to our children. Someone else said, inconsistency between the way parents actually live and the way their Christian faith says they should live. Second point, inconsistency in discipline. Sometimes they enforce an expectation they placed upon a child, and the next time they don't. And a number of these things deal with simply that one word, inconsistency. It takes effort to be consistent. It takes remembering. It takes concentration. That's such an important word. Another problem, administering discipline in anger, too much harshness, too little love. Someone else, I think the worldly psychology is overwhelming biblical teaching. The concept of parents training and children obeying has nearly been lost. Then the incredible influence of the electronic media is staggering. Let me just make a comment on this matter of parents expecting children to obey. As was mentioned yesterday, I was a pastor for 33 years in California, 27 of those years, well, 17 of those years, actually the administrator of our Christian school, or the principal, administrator, everything. For the last 10 years that I was there, we had an administrator, and I probably spanked more kids than anybody in the world. Maybe I can try it out, show how that works. But we had spanking, and it was a great tool, and I can tell you story after story of how it changed kids for the good, if done in the right way, in which we tried to do. But we would have children come, and as they were coming in with their parents, they were totally out of control. Once they got to the classroom, they were totally under control because they knew what was expected in that classroom. And then when parents would come to get them, as soon as they were under their parents' care or on field trips where they were under their parents' care sometimes, no control whatsoever. Parents have a very low view of what they can expect from children. The Bible says, obey your parents. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we live in a society where that's almost forgotten. Parents lack the courage and or the knowledge to control the influence of electronic media is having on their children. Social pressures have parents afraid to make decisions and enforce rules, and everyone is too busy. There are too many options of ways to fill everyone's time, leaving people too busy for the things which are really important. Parents feel the need to know more about the newest or best parenting techniques, what do's or don'ts are in right now. This we're dealing here with mainly parents of younger children. One of the big fads right now is give them grace. You know, there are many young people who have grown up in good Bible preaching churches that have come to the conclusion that that's really not the right way to train children. We're not going to spank our children. We're going to try another way. We've actually had people tell us they've already had, this particular instance, three children, and they now have two other children, and they're saying, we're going to train these two up differently. By that, they mean we're never going to spank them. I mean, these are Christian people. So how does that decision come about? You just kind of shut down the Bible? Is that how you do it? And you kind of listen to what's being out there on the internet and what other Christians are saying? Or, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Parenting continues to take over their mind, their heart, their emotions, their identity. There's a great need for Christian parents to be called back to their identity in Christ first. They will not be parents forever, but they will be Christians forever. Parents are not expecting trouble, difficulty, disease, or death. So when it comes, they are rocked to their core. Whereas Christian parents hold every day from God as a gift, but know that God could at any time allow suffering and difficulty to come to teach, train, or test us. If all we expect is a little difficulty, like a lack of sleep or fussy babies, but are not prepared prior to the possibility of great difficulty by knowing God, who God is, and what he has done, so we can always rest in him. That's excellent. There are families where some tragedy has come along and they just trash God altogether in a sense. Why did you do this to me? They don't know God.
That's right.
So it's a good comment. God uses everything as a means to grow us, no matter if it's lack of sleep, or our child is not like other children, our child is very difficult, our child has really serious medical issues. Parents need to trust God with their children and thank him for the opportunity to steward that gift and responsibility for his glory. This is coming from a seasoned pastor who has observed lots of things. Parents of younger children, the main problem is often the lack of loving discipline, which would lead to self-control in children. They don't see self-control in their parents, so they don't develop themselves. Young parents do not seem to see what they do wrong, which is usually a lack of consistency in loving teaching discipline that leads young children to lose control. That's probably the biggest reason people have turned against spanking, because it's been done in such a way that is the wrong way to do it. For older youth, the problem seems to be a lack of spiritual emphasis in raising of the youth. There does not seem to be enough emphasis on the need for a love for the Lord and his word and souls that would lead Christ to Christian service, holiness, and biblical godly standards. And I might say, if you don't start when your children are young, it'd be very, very difficult if you wait to try to do these things and become teenagers. It has to be from the beginning. It has to be consistent. Now, we're not always consistent, okay? We're not saying we have to be perfect here. I mentioned yesterday, though, or maybe I didn't, maybe it'll be in this, or I'll go ahead and say it anyway. When we mess up as parents, one of the greatest lessons our children will ever learn is when we come to them and say, "I messed up. We've been lack on our family devotions. It's my fault. We need to get back the way that we should be doing this." When children see parents admitting their errors in a humble way, they get a tremendous message from that. And we just have to keep those kind of things in mind. Some have the attitude that church or school should train my child. Some were, and we mentioned this yesterday, no agreement or lack of agreement between parents. Know what's going on in the media, music, friends, where to teach, train, and monitor them. I mentioned yesterday that there are programs. I mean, my daughter, who has two college-age children, still knows where they are all the time because of an app she has on her phone. That's a parent's right. As long as they're paying the bills, that's the way it would be with me. As long as you're in my home, as long as I'm paying the bills and feeding you, there are certain responsibilities that I have as a parent, and I'll carry them out. Okay. I didn't tell my wife I was going to do this, but some years ago we were doing something like this, and I asked her, I said, "What are some of your thoughts on parenting and family and children?" So they're excellent, I think. I know she's my wife, and I'm a little biased, but she's had a lot of experience with her four kids and grandkids and has taught about every grade there is. You know, when you're a pastor's wife and you have a Christian school, come up to school, you don't have a second grade teacher, hey, second grade, you know. But she's had lots of it. Teach them to get up early and on time. Teach them to use an alarm clock or their cell phone these days, whatever it is. Encourage personal devotions and give them a plan how to do it. Family devotions. Be responsible for their own room and several jobs around the house. We're a team and need to help each other. When you have a job to do, do it well. Be dependable. Teach them to work hard and long without complaining. Work is a good and honorable thing. How do you like that? Work is a good and honorable thing. It's not something that I should gripe about. Attitude in the family is one of love and respect for each other. Never let them call each other names or be unkind to each other. Discipline them when it does happen. Home is a safe place where they belong. You say, well, that's impossible. It's not. I mean, we had boys, our first two were boys, they're 19 months apart. They're best friends today. They grew up as best friends. Yeah, they got into it a few times, but they got it from me when they did. They learned to live and to love each other. You can do that. You have to start it young. Teach them you're not going to mistreat each other. You're not going to call each other names. If you do, we're going to discipline you. It doesn't have to happen in our families. Is it going to be perfect? No. That's why we have discipline. But it can work. Guide them in the use of their time, their media, their videos, their games. Is there anything edifying in what they're doing? Guide them in the choice of their heroes. Provide good missionary biographies. Read them if you have to. Yeah, I saw one church where they're making a big deal out of every staff member's hero. You know, Spider-Man, Superman. This is a big thing they were putting in front of the, and I'm not putting all that down. I'm just simply saying, those should not be the real heroes of our children. There are tremendous, challenging stories of Christian characters in the past. Those are the heroes, and even people that are living today. Teach them how to sit and listen to a sermon or lesson in church. This is my wife preaching. I know, she's not preaching. Never let them come to church and be a non-participant. It shouldn't be a time that they check out their brain. Take notes, draw pictures, talk about it afterwards, ask questions. What did you learn in Sunday school? Yes, now we were in church planting most of our lives, in Singapore, twice in California. We rarely had early on nurseries, and we had young children. What do? Even if they're 3 years old, listen. Just listen until you hear something that you understand. And then draw me a picture. Can't write yet? Draw me a picture. We still have some of those pictures. So what you're forcing them to do is listen, at least to get something. And then as they gradually learn to be able to write, then you begin to take notes. Start them memorizing scripture and hymns and spiritual songs very early, as soon as they're barely talking. Kids pick up music very easily. Christian music is a wonderful thing. My personal philosophy is to start them early in singing, then piano or some kind of formal musical training. I'll add my note here. Some people say, I'm not interested in music. Well, you might as well get used to it. Lots of music in heaven. Yeah, you're going to have kind of culture shock when you get to heaven if you don't like music. It's going to be there. The reason I believe in starting them early is that they are not encumbered with a lot of responsibility at this point in their lives. No, not a lot of homework or chores. They establish the habit of regular practice. It becomes a very natural part of their lives, just like getting dressed in the morning. Our kids always do their practice first thing in the morning. They got up early, got their practice done before they went to school. This habit has helped them in many areas of their lives through the years. Many young adults today cannot get themselves up early in the morning to get to church after a busy Saturday. Better that it had been a habit for many years. No matter how busy the day has been before, they still get up early in the morning because they have a job to do. Moral music. Have them sing when they come to church. Sing hymns at home. The words of spiritual songs will carry them a long way in life. I feel very strongly about this. She does. Expressing praise, thanks, worship, and song accomplishes something unique in the heart sooner or later. Yeah, don't let your children in church just kind of be there. Open the hymn book or look on the screen, whatever it may be, and sing. And fathers have to set the example. Amen. Deal with attitudes, not just outward behavior. A responsibility should not just be carried out, but with a proper attitude. Or it's not acceptable. No griping, sarcasm. teach them to respect authority, to say yes, mom, or yes, dad, or whatever, a positive way of responding to people. Talk to them about body language, slouching down in a chair, talking back. She says, expect prompt obedience to verbal instruction with the right attitude. This starts very early, all in caps. I started with ours when I was changing their diapers. In those days, they were cloth diapers, okay? And she said, and they resisted my efforts, I would look them in the eye and hold them still and say no. They can learn very early what no means. It will save you a lot of trouble later on. And she closes with the fact she read Susanna Wesley's child-rearing advice as a young mother and took it to heart. You can find that on the internet. She has a lot of very good advice on rearing children. I mean, these things are all scriptural, I believe. I don't think they're off somewhere. But just in case you're wondering, yeah, we will look at the Bible, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 is the portion of scripture where you're familiar with it, and it's a lot about children and what the Bible has to say about that. We're talking about family, parenting. Children, obey your parents. Let me back up here a minute. Unfortunately, and we saw a lot of this in the Christian school, families revolving around the children. And as a result, children are not going to have the proper emotional development that they need if that home revolves around that, because that's not the way God set it up. Their emotional development and their strength in life is going to come from a family that is founded upon parents that love each other, and they see that the spousal relationship is the most important relationship in the family. If kids see that, that gives them the emotional stability to grow. Now, can people go through a family that is disoriented in these areas and still come out all right? Of course. God's grace is a wonderful thing. But we're simply saying this to the best of our ability is the way we should do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Two commands, three reasons. All right? Command number one, obey. That is to listen and to submit. It's a very basic word. So parents should expect their children to obey instructions immediately and with the right attitude. You can train them to do that. This is a matter of training and discipline, but the time and effort will pay off the rest of your life and the rest of their lives. Honor. Obey. Honor. It means to ascribe worth to them. They are valuable to me. I'm going to treat them as something valuable. This is another command, not just to obey, but to honor them. Do not belittle them. Do not disrespect them. Those are commands for children. We teach them that. You don't expect them to learn that on their own. We have to teach them. The reasons, obey your parents in the Lord. Children should obey because Jesus is the real master. It's in the Lord. It's not that I simply look at my parents and wonder why they're acting this way. Well, if they're acting the way the Bible says, it's because this is what God has said. Children need to see that. And not only that, because it is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So what makes something right or wrong? You know, kids need to know that. They need to understand these things. The character of God is what makes something right or wrong. He's God. He's the creator. What is in line with his character is right. What is not in line with his character is wrong. How do I know that? How do I know that? Through the Bible. God has revealed himself in the Bible. Our children need to understand that it is not mom and dad that are simply saying this is right and wrong, But there are character traits of God that have been revealed in Scripture. That's what I go by. It's not, children should not obey because it's convenient for them. They should not obey because they like their parents. And that's a good thing. I hope your children like you. They should not obey because they feel they don't want to get hurt. They don't want to get spanked or whatever. Now I know they do those things. I know that some, but they need to understand the real reason behind this is there is God. God has set it up this way. He has created us. That's the way it should be. So children are to obey because there are reasons. And there are also promises. Okay, it's the reasons, it's in the Lord, it's right, and there are promises that go along with it. Because you may be well with you and you live long on the earth. You say, well, I know people that were brought up right and lived right and died very young. Well, this is like a proverb. It's a general statement, but it is generally true also. I could read you surveys that have been taken, in one case, 126,000 people, that demonstrated that people who read their Bibles, went to church regularly, and tried to live the Christian life, lived better and longer than their counterparts. Not all of them, but most of them. So there is even scientific evidence that, generally speaking, that is true. So there are promises that go along with children obeying their parents. Now, we move on in this to verse 4 with fathers. Your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord, or the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke to wrath. What's that mean? Well, one of my favorite commentators is Charles Hodge. He says, they are not to excite the bad passions of their children by severity, injustice, partiality, or unreasonable exercise of authority. So what are some of the ways? Smother your children. Never give them a chance to make decisions as they grow up. Favoritism, favoring one child over another child. Comparing your kids with one another. Why aren't you like him? Or pushing their achievement beyond bounds. You know, you should have done better. What's wrong with you? You know, some fathers especially are just absolutely mean to their children. Discouraging them, failing to make the child feel wanted, treating them as if they're intruding into my life. You know, if it weren't for you, I could be doing this. And you know, some fathers actually say those kind of things. Using love as a tool for reward or punishment. Physical or verbal abuse. No child should have to go through that. Teasing them, taunting them. Yeah, we create wrath and anger in our children as we do these kind of things. Children will respond properly when they know that we discipline them because we love them. I wrote a lot of parenting tips each week when we have a little paper to go home. Some of you have seen some of those. Here's one of them. Parenting is a wonderful privilege and responsibility. It is, however, sometimes hard to keep a balance between love and discipline. Our children know that we love them. Will know that we love them by how we talk to them and how we treat them. They will pick up. Do my parents really love me? By the way I talk, the way I treat them. Discipline will be of little value if it is done out of anger and frustration. Disciplinary actions which spring from love are those which are done under control and for the good of our children, including spanking, under control, teaching them why I'm doing this. I don't really want to do it. This is what God says needs to be done in certain instances, to do it right, under control, love them afterwards, pray with them. Too many times parents discipline for selfish reasons, simply because their children have gotten in their way. Even severe disciplinary measures will be well received when our children know that it comes from a heart of love. I don't know how many times you have a child that has bad attitude, finally have to spank them, changes their whole attitude. Smile, tears maybe, but smiling because they know they got what they deserved, and in their hearts they're glad for it. I mean, it just, Even our little three-year-old granddaughter had to go through that recently from her father. She was just angry and having a hard time, and he finally, you know, warned her and so forth. But eventually took her back, spanked her. She came out with a big smile on her face, back to her happy self again, even with tears still on her cheeks. Hurts grandparents to see that, you know. But it was wonderful, really, to see how that changed her. So we are to not provoke them to wrath. Bring them up. Bring them up. Okay, what's that mean? Develop them. Educate them. It's the word bring them up used there has a tenderness about it. One commentator translates it, rear them tenderly. Okay, we're dealing with children. We're dealing with little lives that we want to form in the right direction. And if we do, as they get older, we can continue to form in the right direction. I don't know how it is in your home, but throughout the years in dealing with kids in a Christian school, some of them would come to school and immediately fall asleep in the classroom because their parents had kind of dragged them around the night before, stayed up late. There are lots of articles been written in recent years on the fact that children don't get enough sleep. It's because the parents have not trained them and expected them to go to sleep at a certain time and to get up at a certain time. It's a big problem in the medical world. We talk about children's rights. We live in a day where there's a lot of talk about children's rights, and a lot of those are wrong rights. They get to choose whatever they want to do. I believe children have rights. They have rights to have loving parents. They have rights to be treated with respect. They have rights to have a home atmosphere that's conducive to Christian growth. They have a right to be protected from the evil society around them. Children's rights, however, do not include a computer or a television in your room. I think it's one of the worst decisions parents can make. These days there are ways to control all that, but generally speaking, I continue to urge parents to know everything their child watches on TV, everything that they do on their computer. This is the parent's right. You're the parent. Our world does not look at it that way. But God does. May the Lord help us to look at children's rights rightly. One of the problems we find as far as rearing children is disloyalty, parents going around each other's back, so you have a double standard. So bring them up, upright in the nurture. Training. This word has to do with what I do and what I make sure is done. All right. The next word deals with what I say, the nurture and admonition. So this, the emphasis on what I am doing to make sure. I mean, you've all seen it. If you do that again, I'm going to do something. If you do that again, if you do that again, if you do that again, and nothing is ever done. Saying and not doing is not going to work. It's not going to work with children. It's not going to work with adults. If you're a manager or something, you know how that works. Make sure that what you say is obeyed. That's what this is about. You remember priest Eli, 1 Samuel chapter 2? His sons were very wicked. They were doing wicked things. He talked to them. He talked to them. But in 1 Samuel 3:13, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. See, that's the problem. He talked to them, but he did not restrain them. He didn't do anything about it. And because of it, great problems came on Eli and his family. By the way, God, I think, has set the pattern for discipline. With his people Israel, and you can read about this several places, one of those is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Where God started, for example, one way is plagues. Then he worked up the various sicknesses. Then he said, I'm going to bring you to nothing. Eventually, I think it was number 10 on the list, if we put them all together, I'm going to allow another country to come and take you away. And we know that that's what happened. They had to be taken into captivity before they realized eventually how bad they really were and to get right with God. So I think you should have a discipline system. Here's what's going to be done, and then there's a way you go up the ladder. It doesn't have to be 10 steps. You know, there were several times in our family when our kids were like maybe upper elementary or junior high where we'd have a family conference and we'd say, you know, we need to tighten things up a little bit. They're getting a little loose around here. And let's set some rules and let's set some consequences. And I would have them give me suggestions. And often, their suggestions were much more consequential than mine would have been. Okay. I mean, they were harder on themselves than I would have been. So I'd write them down, and I'd say, okay, all right, let's write these down. And then we would review it and say, okay, here are the rules, here's how we're going to operate. And, we have to do that, and we have to have we would talk about the consequences also. What if we don't do this? Then they would give suggestions. You know, what could they say when they messed up? You know, I'm simply following what we as a family have decided and many of those things you have. I don't know if that would work in your family, but it worked in ours. Make whatever the system is clear. That's one of the problems we get into as parents. We haven't made it clear to our children what the rules are and what the results might be. And then be consistent. Don't compromise to keep in good graces of your children or whatever. And when spanking is part of that. I spanked high school boys at our school even. Had a bigger paddle for them. In fact, my friend in India gave me a cricket paddle, and I warned them. You know, that's a two-handed paddle. And one side of it was kind of like this. And I said, you know, you guys begin to get too bad, and I might drag that thing out. But anyway, we had good results from it. Some people say that's terrible to spank a high school boy. Well, it works. They were more embarrassed than it hurt them, you know. That's okay. Whatever it takes. Talking about things are not always fun to do, but we are to teach them and train them, make sure they are dependable. Train your children in dependability. Dr. Bob Sr., founder of BJ, used to say, dependability is the greatest ability. Whatever we can do, we can be dependable. Maybe not as good as somebody else, but I can be dependable.
Right.
Teach them diligence. This is the way I put it. It means to do a thing well, to do it thoroughly, to do something right the first time, to have a certain strictness about myself. We need to learn that, to have a certain strictness about myself, to do a job well. You know, do the job right, do it right the first time. We've heard that a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that. Teach them about modesty. We live in a very immodest world where nakedness becomes worse and worse and worse. We need to teach them to control what they wear because of how it affects other people, particularly how women dress, how it affects men. Be aware of their attitude, a scowl on their face, and they're not always aware of this. I had my oldest child, he got to a point, I think it was like upper elementary, where I couldn't figure out what it was that bothered me about him and how he was talking to us. Finally, I realized he was raising his voice just a little bit. It wasn't really that noticeable, but finally I realized what it was, and I talked to him about it, and, you know, he learned through that. You learn that when you talk to an authority, you don't raise your voice when talking to an authority. So sometimes they don't understand. Sometimes you yourself don't really. But you pray and see what is the problem here? What's going on? What time do I stop here? Time to stop already?
Can you wrap it up in about a minute?
Oh, yeah, I'll just stop, you know. I have a lot more to say, but that's okay. Anyway, the next point is teaching them. All right. So I do what I need to do to accomplish what I have taught them. So anyway, that's a small part of what I need to say. Let me just end with one thing. In the Old Testament, we learn that Adam and Eve, blame shifted, wife acting independently, no communication, refusing to do what God said. Abraham and Sarah tried to accomplish God's will by worldly means. Hey, take my handmaid here and have a baby by her. Isaac and Rebekah, favoritism. Rebekah favored Jacob. Isaac, Esau, wife doing things behind her husband's back. Deceit and lies, which was passed on to their children. Esau hated Jacob because of the favoritism. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. His brothers hated him. They lied to their father. These things are carried on. Samson and Eli did not correct their children. Jehoshaphat, a good king, made a marriage alliance with his son and Jezebel's daughter, which destroyed their whole country once Jehoshaphat passed that on to his son. So, a lot of lessons from Scripture. That's all I have. Okay.